Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. It's 5 minutes past the hour of eight. We are, of course, Nigeria's number one radio station. In case you have not heard, let me say it again. We are Nigeria's number one radio station. It's not that we give ourselves that title. It's just that people have decided to just give us that time. And we won an award and everybody celebrated with us. And we thank you for it. We really, really appreciate that. We can't get over it. Right. We can't get over it. I'm Sheriff Quadri. This is the Morning Crossfire. Now, health first. Every week we come here, every Thursday, we discuss health. Now, I always say this. This particular content on the Morning Crossfire is not created to treat or to diagnose. Its sole purpose is to inform and educate, enlighten you, create awareness on some issues that are health or health-related, right? And we want to implore you to listen up to our conversation this morning, because we'll be talking about hemorrhoids and what surrounds it, right? According to research, though, more than half of men and women aged 50 years and older will develop hemorrhoids or its symptoms during their lifetime. Now, these are abnormal swollen tissues that occur inside or around the anus, which may bleed, itch, or be painful. I would like to, at this juncture, bring in my guest. You've just heard a summary of what hemorrhoids is, or you know, how you can describe it. But at this time, let's have our guest talk to us mainly on this conversation. Dr. Olabode Oshodi joins us right now via the telephone. Dr. Oshodi, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well. I'm fine.
Dr. Olabode Oshodi is a general surgery resident at Lasuth. Let's begin, sir. Let's start from the basis, right? What are hemorrhoids? How do you describe it? I would like for you to break it down to the simplest form.
Okay, thank you. In the first place, I'm not a general surgery resident. I'm a general surgery consultant.
Apologies for that, doctor. Yes, apologies.
So to make it simple, if we look at the back of our hand, we'll see some wired-like tubing that we call veins.
Okay, I can see them.
Those veins are properly called blood vessels.
Okay.
Now, sometimes when in our anus, they can balloon out around the anus. When they balloon out around the anus, as a result of weakness of their wall, then that ballooning out of the veins around the anus is what we refer to as hemorrhoids. It's generally common among people who tend to stand for long, you know, like the military men, policemen, task force officers, surgeons, and
even you people do? Even surgeons do?
Yes, even surgeons. Because they stand for long. Mm. You know. So, it's commoner among people with pressure in their abdomen. And that's what brings the women into the forefront here, because every time they carry pregnancy, there's a lot of load in the abdomen. Mm. And they put a lot of pressure on the veins of the anus. So it's not very uncommon to find a pregnant woman complaining of anal swelling, and which will eventually be diagnosed as hemorrhoids. So in summary, that's what they call hemorrhoids. Mm. And those are the commonest things that lead to hemorrhoids. Mm.
Well, I'd like for you to even double down a little bit more, Dr. Oshodi. I know you've talked about a few things that cause the ballooning out. But apart from standing, apart from pregnancy, I've heard things like if you eat too much beans, if you purge too much, if you are the type that sit down a lot. What are other causes of this particular medical situation?
Maybe, for example, smoking.
Smoking
can also lead to weakness of the walls of the veins, and it's one of the risk factors for hemorrhoids. people that have recurrent diarrhea, that means every time they have to do the pass watering stool for 3 to 5 times in a day, they are prone to development of hemorrhage. People that have constipation, they are prone to hemorrhage. Like people who don't go to the toilet regularly, or people who usually save their stool for subsequent days or for another day, for one reason or the other. Passage of those hard stones is one of the risk factors for hemorrhage. Also, people with accumulation of fluid in their abdomen, people with any tumors, like growth in their abdomen. So there are also some other problems which can cause hemorrhoids. In those situations, the hemorrhoid is not actually the problem, but they have a much more sinister problem inside the intestine, large intestine precisely.
Okay.
That is just throwing a sign out as hemorrhoid. For example, people with cancers of the large intestine. So as much as hemorrhoids can be a non-cancerous disease, it can also be a sign of an underlying cancer of the large intestine. You understand?
Dr. Shodi, so please, let's go deep inside hemorrhoids now. What are those signs that you see on the outward that the individual will see to know that he or she may have come down with hemorrhoids? What are those things?
Yeah, thank you. Some of the first most common signs is that there will be bleeding during stooling. So the person notices that they go to the toilet, there's passage of blood. Now, most of the time, this blood is usually bright red. Sometimes it's torrential. Torrential in the fact that it'll be flowing like there's a tap open at the anus. And then the blood will just be flowing. It's a little bit different from when you just see a streak of blood staining the stool.
Okay.
When you see streaks of blood staining the stool, that's very unlikely to be hemorrhoid.
Okay.
Blood bleeding you see in hemorrhoid is usually bright red, and it's usually relatively torrential. And it usually starts during stooling and stops most of the time in uncomplicated wounds after stooling. That's one sign, and that's about the commonest sign. Next one is now the anal protrusion. People can notice that something comes out of the anus whenever they want to stool. Depending on the stage of the disease, it can go back after stooling.
Okay.
You know, it goes back inside after the stool.
On its own, without treatment, doc.
Without treatment.
Okay.
It will go back on its own after stooling, only for it to come back at the next stool that the patient wants to pass. So these are the two commonest signs of hemorrhoids. Other things are that they may have some anal discharge. They may have itching around the anus. And, you know, by the time it's getting complicated, then people begin to have pain around the anus. Then people begin to have sores, ulcers around the anus. When all these are started happening, then the hemorrhoid is getting complicated. The complications are vast. It can affect from the anus to even psychological complications.
What
depression from hemorrhoids before, you know, so
depression.
These are some of the complications that can happen with hemorrhoids.
Doc, hold on. We'll get to the full weight of the complication in a moment, but let's hear from Lagos. Lagos is listening to us right now, and Lagos wants to ask one or two questions from you. When we're done with a set of calls right now, then I would come to you because I also want you to explain even further before we get to the complications, you know, what the treatment mode is like for hemorrhoids. We'll get to that treatment part, then we'll go to when it's left untreated, the complications that may arise. Let's hear from Lagos now. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Doc, that reminds me, I also would like to know whether you feel, I know you mentioned pregnant women are predisposed to it. But I also like to ask your expert opinion as to whether this is quite gender-based. I've heard some myths here and there about it happens more in this gender than the other gender and all of that. But we'll get to that as well. Let's take a few calls now, Doug. Let's see who is here. Okay, that call has dropped, so we're going to hang up on this call. Let's hang it up. Okay, yeah. Let's take another one now. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah. Please, I want to know if humorous is the same thing as fine.
Okay. All right. Is that all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Doc,
yes,
there you go.
All. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, too. Doc?
Do I answer?
Yes, please. Go on, Doc.
Yeah, humorous is the same thing as fine. In fact, humorous is true power. That is T-R-U-E. That is what they really call power. There are a lot of things people call power. When people have low back pain, they call it power. When they see blood in their urine, they call it power. When they have excess stooling like diarrhea, they call it power. But hemorrhoid is a real power.
It's a real power. Okay, all right. Let's take another one then. Good morning to you. Oh, I think that call dropped already. So we're going to hang up. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Morning to you.
Let me leave by name. I'm having this pile, just like the doctor said.
Yeah.
If I'm going to toilet, the blood will just be gushing out, just like you said. And I've complained, and I found out that before I want to stool, I'll first pass air, just like mess. Once I start passing that air, my anus will get kind of cut. I'll have a cut because of the force. So, and the blood will be gushing out there. I will use a lot of medication. I'll ask to get pilots.
Have you gone to see a doctor?
Yes, I have gone to see a doctor. So they gave me some. They said it's because of the I'm having constipation or something like that.
Constipation.
I pass air and forced for me to go for the feces to come out. We tear my anus and both blows are coming out. But I should make sure I take a lot of water and orange and something that will soak in my stool, and I will be free. So then I've been applying that and it has been working. But once in a while, if I don't take orange and things like that, I will still have that again. So I want to know exactly what I'm going to do to stop it finally.
All right. Thank you, Anonymous. Doc, did you get his complaint? Dr. Shodi?
Yeah, I'm here.
Over to you now, sir.
I didn't get the question.
Oh, okay. Let me reiterate what he said. So he said that he's been having this serious pile issue, hemorrhoid issue. You know, that each time he uses the loo, blood rushes down, and then he's seen a doctor. They prescribe some drugs for him. They've even told him to eat more fruits and fiber and all of that. But anytime he stops, let's say he just stops for a moment like this, he reverses back to the bleeding situation, and he wants to know what he can do to forever be cured of hemorrhoids.
Okay, great. Hemorrhoid is one disease that is completely curable. And the cure is dependent on the stage of the disease.
Ooh.
So for people in first and second degree hemorrhoids, usually it can be cured with medication, meaning drugs and, maybe some bedside procedure. You know, but if you have like a third degree and fourth degree hemorrhoids, those ones may eventually require surgical operation. And that may be the only thing that can solve his problem. So I think the most likely reason why he's not getting better is because he has gotten to a stage that is more than what drugs can treat. So that's why.
Let's talk about the cost of that, because I'm sure quite a number of people are listening to you now, Dr. Oshodi. And the moment people hear surgery, they'll be like, yeah, Mugbe, where is the money? How affordable is this surgery? I'm not telling you to give us some price, like specific price. I just want you to be
a bit descriptive as to whether it's affordable or not affordable and all of that.
Okay. Well, I didn't quite get the last thing you said. You said I should just mention whether it's affordable or not, right?
Yes, yes. The cost implication of
it. Yeah, it's a very affordable surgery, okay. Depending on the hospital, of course.
Okay.
There are high profile, there are low profile, and there are government hospitals.
Okay.
In most of the government hospitals, like Lagos State University Teaching Hospital, it's quite affordable.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think the cost is one of the main reasons people should be worried about, or people are... Generally, my patients are worried about, because it's not quite expensive.
Hmm.
What most people are worried about are the needs, by needs, I mean NYTHS, as well as the superstitions surrounding the surgery for hemorrhoid.
Hmm.
But it's generally affordable, and it's a very safe surgery.
Well,
good
incidentally, that's exactly what, you know, I told you I've heard quite a number of needs. Doc, take us through those myths and superstitions again as to what are these things? Are these things real? Are they just fallacies?
Yeah, the commonest one and the one you will hear of the most is that, especially for men, once you do hemorrhoid surgery, you say you will not achieve erection again, which means the hemorrhoid surgery is a cause of erectile dysfunction. That's absolute fallacy.
Okay.
There's no iota of truth attached to it. In fact, doing the surgery actually gives you perineal comfort and maybe makes sex much more pleasurable than not doing the surgery. Because when you are in pain from hemorrhoids, there's no way you can comfortably have pleasurable intercourse.
Right.
So that's one myth. They are completely unrelated. Two, they say that when you do it, you will not be able to pass stool again. That's not correct. In good hands, people who know what they are doing, especially, hemorrhoids does not cause that kind of thing if it is properly done. Another thing is that people say that they may start having difficulty with voiding. I mean, difficulty with passing urine.
Okay.
When you do hemorrhoid surgery.
Okay.
Hemorrhoid surgery and the pathway for urination, they are completely different pathways. They do not even meet at any point in time. So, if, for example, anybody have difficulty with passing urine, it can only occur immediately after hemorrhoid surgery because of pain. When you have anal pain, you don't want to bear pressure to pass urine. But that's about it. Once you are given painkillers, you pass urine, and you are okay. If anybody has difficulty with passing urine subsequently, he has absolutely nothing to do with the hemorrhoid surgery. So these are the common things that are attached. In about 95% of cases, what I get from the patient is the inability to sustain erection following hemorrhoid surgery, and that's, I want to use this medium to say that that's completely untrue, and they are not related.
Doc, how about the question of it happens more in one gender than the other gender? Please go on.
Actually, the risk in both gender is about the same.
Okay.
However, some authors have said that it's slightly more common in men than in women, a ratio of 1.5 to 1. So 1.5 in men, and then 1 in women. So what it seems is that if you look at 3 men having it, for every 3 men, there are 2 women that have it. So it's just about the same. It all depends on the risk factors that are causing it. But about 50% of human beings are prone. In fact, being a human being and walking on our 2 feet alone is a risk factor to development of hemorrhoids. That's why you don't find it in animals who are on their paws. When we on tools, we tend to have hemorrhoids because standing alone, full pressure, pressure goes down to the anus.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow, because we have 2 legs now, we are now prone to hemorrhoids. Dr. Oshodi, please stay with us. Let's take this short break. When we return after this break, we'll take more of your questions and put to Dr. Oshodi to answer them. Stay with us on Health Thursday on Nigeria Inc. for Lagos.
Talk.
And we are the nation's number one radio station. We're broadcasting live from Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you, wherever you are. If you're just tuning in, you are most welcome. It's Health Thursday, and we're discussing hemorrhoids on the show today. That's our topic. I have Dr. Olabode Oshodi. He's joined us on the telephone, and we've been having this very deep conversation on hemorrhoids, and of course would also get your thoughts as well. He's general surgery consultant on the show from Lasuth. He joins us by the telephone. We're going to start, Dr. Oshodi. Let's start first and foremost. Let's begin this round from the area of complications that you mentioned. First, if left untreated, what are those complications that people will be exposed to if they have their hemorrhoids left untreated for a long time?
It's called the complications. Thank you once again. And, some of the complications that can come in if left untreated, one of them is that the person can develop what we call intractable pain. That means they will keep having protracted anal pain every time while stooling, after stooling for the next 2 to 3 hours, they may still be having the pain. Some people for days after stooling. So you can imagine somebody passed through on Monday and is still having pain till Friday around the anus. So that's one complication that can happen. Another complication is that it may actually rupture. Okay. And when it ruptures, it will form a wound. So you see a wound there, we call that kind of thing an ulcer. So that's what we call an ulcerated hemorrhoid. Hmm. When it ulcerates like that, it can cause myriads of problems. For example, now once it ulcerates now, it's open to a variety of infections, especially infection from the stool that we are passing out. Hmm. Now those infections can enter the blood, spread into the system, develop into what we call sepsis. That means bacteria that is growing rapidly in the blood.
Hmm.
The person will start running temperature, that and it can lead to several other sequelae, like the kidney may shut down, heart may start working abnormally, the person may have difficulty with breathing, and ultimately, it can lead to death.
Oh, wow.
So, other things that it can still cause are that it will actually lead to anal cancer when the ulcer is left untreated. You know, when you have an ulcer around the anus and left untreated, it can lead to an anal cancer. But I mean, that's usually perfect, but it's one of the complications that may arise from
untreated
hemorrhoids. Like I told you, of course, part of the conundrum of symptoms is that people can actually bleed to death from it. You know, people are bled to almost exsanguinating level. That means they bled to the extent that they went into a heart failure that they had to rush into hospital for resuscitation and blood transfusion. These are some very, very ugly complications from a neglected hemorrhoid.
I have some messages here on YouTube. I'll take one that will go to WhatsApp. Ayodele says, I am 53 years old. I battled with 3-degree hemorrhoids since 1995. I had a surgery last year. That's Ayodele who dropped that update for us on our live stream on YouTube. You can watch us as well on YouTube and on Facebook. I have another message here on WhatsApp. This person says, thank you for bringing this topic today. Please, this hemorrhoid is something I've been battling with. And I have been to the hospital and was prepared to take the surgery. I told my family and they said I should never do it as it would cause erectile dysfunction. Please, this thing is really affecting me. Doc, I know you've addressed this, but this individual has been stopped from having surgery done because of one of the myths that you mentioned earlier. Could you please reiterate so that he and the others like him can get the reassurance again?
So, I want the listener to know that it is completely fallacy, and has never been. I've done thousands of hemorrhoidectomies, and not one of my patients has ever complained of that. In fact, what I get is, doctor, contrary to what I was thinking, I will actually perform better. So nobody has erectile dysfunction from hemorrhoids. They are not linked together. Where you, except if, I mean, I don't know who could have done that, but it's not one of the complications from hemorrhoids. And it has never happened before from hemorrhoids that I have seen.
Right. We're going to go back to the telephone in a moment before we come to treatment. But let me take this message here that says, my experience with anal warts or hemorrhoids is not a palatable one. Worse than toothache, I can't sit, stand for long. I must lie down in a particular position. Worse is I can't stool because of severe pain and pressure on the hemorrhoids. Except I take drugs to suppress the pain, I can't be comfortable. And sometimes on its own, it subsides and I can sit a bit. But this person did not tell us, Doc, this person did not tell us whether they have gone to see the doctor or they've had surgery done. But from the message I just read now, you would suppose the person needs maybe a surgery?
Yes, the person will need surgery. That person is already having one of the complications I just told you about, which is intractable pain. That's not something drugs alone can solve. The person will need surgical intervention. And the surgery works. It's about 98.9% success rate with very, very little risk of reoccurrence. So, that person needs surgery. That's the only way they can get help. You see, it is this intractable pain that makes them not be able to carry out most of their daily activity.
Ooh.
And then they are usually restricted to one side of the bed. They have poor quality of life, and then it progresses to depression. That's why I told you that. It's not just a physical illness. There could be a psychological component to it once neglected.
So there's also one of these myths that I've heard about sweet things, sugary drinks, fizzy drinks, sweetened drinks, causing hemorrhoids. Dr. Oshodi, what can you tell us about this?
What was the last thing you said? Say that again.
Like sweetened drinks, sugary drinks, like the soft drinks that they cause hemorrhoids.
Not exactly. It is only if the sweet drinks cause the person to have diarrhea. That's when it can be linked to causing hemorrhoids. Some of my patients are so convinced that it was the sweet drink or the alcohol that they took that led to the hemorrhoids. Most of the time, they are just coincidental. The person already has hemorrhoids.
Okay.
There are so many of our fathers who don't take anything sweet. They have hemorrhoids. And there are so many people who take all the sweet things in the world. They do not have hemorrhoids. So he has no direct bearing to development of hemorrhoids.
Right. But Dr. Oshodi, can a man get the surgery done even when his situation is not up to that surgery level situation?
There are different treatments for the stage of the disease. If you do not need surgery, we really will not offer the patient surgery. You understand? So there are effective medical treatments without surgery. You know, so we don't just routinely give surgery. So if you do not have need for surgery,
right,
I don't think you should just subject yourself to surgery.
Right.
There are better, relatively less invasive methods to approach it than surgery.
I'm asking this because I'm putting myself in the position of my guys out there listening to us, and they're thinking this hemorrhoids are comes and goes and comes and goes. It's not serious, oh boy, it just comes and goes. What if I just go in and have surgery done? But you're saying that with that treatment, it may not be coming and going.
Yes, with effective treatment, if you said early, it may not lead to surgery. It may not need surgery. Or at least delay the need for surgery for several years to come.
Okay. All right. Let me take this message here, though. This message says, I'll come to the telephone now. Please, let's just take the one message and I'll come to the telephone. I see a lot of calls on the line. I would like to be anonymous. And it says, I've had hemorrhoid surgery before. And after the surgery, I have been having even a better erection than before. I'm able to urinate comfortably. I have a child. After the surgery, I'm able to pass too easily. Dr. Shodi, this is a confirmation of what you said earlier about some of the myths that you just busted on the show. Let's go to the telephone now and take a few more calls. 01-277-0993, 277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. If you're a female and you'd like to join the conversation, please call 01-465-7190. That is 01-465-7190. And if you want to be anonymous, by all means, please feel free and be anonymous. We don't have to get your name, okay? WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Good morning.
This is Adeshawa from Ekuruti.
You're welcome.
Yes, I have four questions, but he has answered one. So the first question is this. Is hemorrhoid life-threatening? One. Then two, we women that went through V delivery tend to have this during delivery, and it is pushing. Is it a future thing that will activate hemorrhoid in future?
Okay.
Then three, what kind of food can we stick to? Because I've heard if you eat too much of a carbohydrate, it will cause hemorrhoid. Then the fourth one, we teachers that we have like 11 periods per day standing, are we at risk of hemorrhoid?
Okay.
Thank you.
Adeshawa, thank you. Doc, please hold on. Let's take this anonymous who is on the line. After this anonymous, I would come to you, then you can answer all the questions. Anonymous, morning to you.
Sir, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I still want to like clarify something. When I explained my own, I was like, when I take something soft, just like orange and things like fruit, I will pass cities very easily. But when I don't do that, I find out that my tools are very, very hard. Okay. And the process of trying to force myself to go to the toilet, I will have.
Yes,
that.
We got that earlier. What's your question?
My question is that my wife, when she gave my first son, she had this, that thing has remained like that.
Okay.
They will have three kids now. That thing has meant that just thing just came out and
okay.
just remained there. He wants to go inside again.
All right.
And I also want to find out if this can cause waist pain, because I'm having serious waist. I don't know
waist pain.
Of
it. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Anonymous, for calling. Doc, let's begin from the. Let's begin, sir. Doc.
Yeah, I'm here.
So let's begin.
I didn't want to interrupt your listeners, but okay. I couldn't hear them very well.
Oh, I apologize for that. I apologize for that. But let me quickly just summarize the questions asked by the callers. The both of them, the first lady asked about ladies who give birth and they had these hemorrhoids come out, and then she was asking whether it predisposes them to coming down with hemorrhoids later in life. Well, the last caller said something in the area of his wife, has had the hemorrhoids out for a long time now, and the thing has refused to go in. What's your reaction to those two, sir?
Yes, thank you. For the first person, once you had hemorrhoids during pregnancy or relating to childbirth, you stand a risk of having it again, even when you are not pregnant. So it's a risk factor.
Okay.
But that does not necessarily mean that you will have a reoccurrence, even when you are not giving birth again. But that is a prominent risk factor to developing it later in life. I've answered that. Now, the second person who has had it permanently outside, that is a dangerous one, because that is the fourth degree. We call that prolapsed hemorrhoids. And those are the ones that are prone to complications.
Okay.
That cannot be helped again with drugs. So that person needs surgery.
Okay. All right. He also asked about waist pain, whether it leads to waist pain.
No, hemorrhoids does not have relationship with waist pain.
Okay.
Most of the people's waist pain are usually musculoskeletal, usually from their back, from the aging bone, like what we call degenerative and spine disease, but it's not directly related to the hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids does not cause waist pain. Mm. It only causes anal pain. That is what it can cause.
Right. Now, let's cost them now. Let's end this show by you giving us the treatment. You've mentioned them. Sorry, not the treatment now. The kind of food that people can eat. You have said that there are drugs for it and there is medication. Those are treatments. But the kind of food that people can eat to help them.
Okay, so for patients suffering from sufferers of hemorrhoids, what we advise them to take is that they should take high-fiber diet, like wheat meal, like solid food that can make their stool to be bulky, one. And at the same time, you should eat something that can soften the stool. It's bulky but soft.
Mm.
So you take a lot of fruit, cucumber, watermelon, apples.
Mm.
These are foods that can soften your stool and make stooling easy.
Mm.
A lot of vegetables, at least once, 1 to 3 days in a week, somebody should add vegetables to their stool. Now, for people who, especially men who are hard workers, maybe they are laborers, or they notice that they ate a lot and they did not take a lot of water.
Mm.
Yes, they are living with hemorrhoids. What I advise them to do is that when they want to stool,
yeah,
they should take some 30 minutes out and then go and take like a liter of water, if possible, but at least maybe half a liter, like one sachet of pure water, like we call it.
Yeah.
They will take it and then wait about 30, 45 minutes,
yeah,
then go to stool. That will help the stool to be soft,
mm,
and it makes the pain to be lesser,
mm,
if they carry out some of these maneuvers.
Right.
You will have lesser pain during stooling. And then whenever, but more importantly, we should go to hospital for the treatment, because dietary treatment will also fail because the disease will keep progressing,
hmm,
if it is left untreated. There's only one rule about hemorrhoids. It keeps getting worse. It may stop for some time, by a year or two,
yeah,
and then still come back.
And then come back.
So whenever you notice, you just go, when it is in the early phase, get it treated,
mm,
and move on.
Dr. Olabode Oshodi, General Surgery Consultant at LASU. Thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us on the show today. We really, really appreciate your time, sir.
Welcome.
All right. Lagos, that's our show today. Thank you for being a part of it. You can watch this show again on Facebook and on YouTube, or download the show from our website, nigeriainfo.fm. But from me,
Mama T International.
Poloski!
Madam Nanja, I greet you.
Well done.
Mama T, please let me have water to take my drugs.
Poloski, I like the way you are dedicated in taking your medicine every day. But it will be sweeter if you go and take the corona vaccine like we discussed.
But I told you I don't want any form of complication. You know I have hypertension.
Uncle Polo, my daddy's brother, Uncle Jaye, also takes medicine every day. But he has taken his COVID-19 vaccine.
Polo, she speaks the truth. In your condition, you need this vaccine more, because if you contract corona, it will really be complicated for you.
Ah.
Big Joe takes people to the health center on Fridays. As the chief protector, I am inviting you to join us.
Ah. Chief protector Sabirade.
I have heard. I go follow Hunoro.
COVID-19 is more dangerous for the elderly and people with underlying conditions. Protect these people in your family. Encourage them to get vaccinated and to test if they develop symptoms. Follow Hunoro.
See, everybody with immune.
I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat?
this time.
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.